Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for listening. I'm Marjorie Pabst, the host of Caregiver and Physician Conversations, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. I'm a speaker, facilitator, and the co-author of Enrich Your Caregiving Journey, a book of practical tools for the family and professional caregiver. The purpose of our show is to provide practical information and tips for both professional and family caregivers, particularly on how to have collaborative and meaningful conversations with a variety of people for increased patient healing. Our topic today, and I'm so looking forward to this because this is such an emerging area and such an important area for all of you caregivers out there, our topic is how caregivers can use the arts for patient healing. And joining me today is Dr. Gay Hanna. Dr. Hanna is an arts administration leader. She's been one for over 30 years. And so she's got great management experience in the arts, education, and health-related program services. She is currently executive director of the National Center for Creative Aging. And I'm going to be asking her in a moment to tell you about that very vital organization and why it means so much for all of you. Dr. Hanna also recently served as executive director of the Society for the Arts and Health from 2003 through May 2007. And she was a faculty member at both Florida State University and the University of South Florida from 1987 to 2003, where she directed the VSA Arts of Florida, which was and is an affiliate of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. She's a contributing author to numerous articles and books, including an important monograph related to our discussion today called Creativity Matters, Arts and Aging in America. Welcome, Dr. Gay Hanna.
Thank you, Marjorie. It's wonderful to be with you and your listeners.
It's great to have you with us. And I'd love to have you begin by telling us, our listeners, about the mission of the National Council for Creative Aging and how that impacts caregivers and families.
Well, certainly. We have actually been established for 10 years, and we're associated with George Washington University as the national hub for information about arts, creativity, and aging. And we hope we'll be your listeners' resource. Our website, which is www.creativeaging.org, has tips, has information about arts programs in your areas and the activities going on. So we started as a grassroots group out of Brooklyn, New York, Elders Share the Arts, and have grown into an international organization. So certainly, as you say, it is emerging and growing, and we certainly hope we can be an ongoing resource and help to caregivers.
Oh, that is terrific. And we'll repeat that website again at the end of our discussion today, because this is something that I encourage all of you caregivers to tap into. I personally have some experience with using the arts with my family members who were ill, and I can vouch for its incredible effectiveness. Recently, in fact, just last week, there was a congressional panel convened in Washington, D.C., on dementia and the arts. This is the first time ever that such a conclave was gathered at the Capitol. And so, Dr. Hanna, would you tell our listeners what the purpose of that panel was and how that event kicked off activities and initiatives that we hope will have positive effects for caregivers?
Well, absolutely. And we are all waiting for the cures for dementia, Alzheimer's diseases, and there's so much progress on that front. But in the meantime, we are really interested in providing the best care, as I'm sure all of you on the line are looking for ways. And often the arts are overlooked. So last Thursday on Capitol Hill, Marjorie was certainly one of the lead speakers from all of her experience regarding caregiving using the arts. We also had Gary Glasner of the Alzheimer's Poetry Project, Maria Genet from Kairos Dance, Judith Kate Friedman from Songwriting Works, Ann Bastings from Time Slips, literally the top programs in the country. Tell about the effectiveness of working in the arts and sharing the arts with people with dementia and helping their caregivers, both professional and family. And it was a huge success. It was a bipartisan presentation, which is rare on any case these days.
Yes.
So it spilled over into the community, and we had performances throughout Washington, which were just packed at every venue, caregivers bringing their loved ones, all sorts of activities. So, you know, at times of stress, to be able to celebrate each other's humanity through the arts and to share wonderful spirit experiences in the moment, it just can't be beat any time.
Oh. That's what, and actually I attended a couple of those concerts, if you will, off the site of Capitol Hill, and they were fabulous. And you're right to call it a celebration. It was a celebration of the arts and healing. And I'm assuming, Gay, that we'll be able to hear about that as a summary, even on your website that you mentioned, that listeners will be able to tap into some of the people that you mentioned that were on the panel, as well as some of the outreaches that are going to occur beyond that.
We will have it up within a week or two. And again, please check our website for events that might be happening in your area. There's just so much going on now in museums, yeah, and libraries and senior centers, yeah, that's helpful.
Would you, in that regard, would you mention for our listeners a couple of really concrete examples of where the arts have really made a difference in the lives of patients and their families?
Well, certainly the arts, they connect us to each other in a very basic and fundamental way, and give us a chance to express our feelings. And really, this takes place, really doesn't matter what condition you're in. The arts and imagination stay with you, even when perhaps your memory and your physical abilities are in decline. That's the true power of the arts. That,
yeah,
we can keep engaging, learning new things, and be socially connected. So,
yeah,
there are several studies that actually have measured up towards scientific standards that show participation in arts activities lead to better health physically, mentally, and truly it has resounding effects throughout the family unit and the community at large.
Yes. I have a friend, to your point, Gay, about connectivity and remaining connected with people. And this friend has Alzheimer's, and she's in the later stages. And yet she can't remember how to tie her shoes, but she can remember works of art. And she, you know, can recognize who the artist was before most people can, right, of paintings and glasswork and so on. And it is extraordinary how that, knowing that, helps keep her family, I would say, balanced and hopeful and in connection with her, because they remember, of course, perhaps when they purchased a work of art with her. And so that remains a connective tissue within that family unit. So it is an amazing thing. You mentioned Gary Glasner and his Alzheimer's Poetry Project, and actually my foundation brought him to Florida, to Central Florida, and he worked with professional and family caregivers, and we tracked the data, like you were saying, a scientific study of mood and behavior, and it was all good. It was, caregivers would report that, you know, if their loved one engaged in poetry, then when they took them home at night from the daycare center, their mood, their behavior, their sense of calm and well-being was greatly enhanced. So this is something that is a critical thing that I think caregivers can do also in their homes. Do you have some thoughts about what caregivers can do today with their friends and their loved ones at home to kind of keep the imagination and the connectivity going?
Oh, yes. And Gary's work is just spectacular and is based on reading poetry almost. He has a process called just calling back. So if you take a poem, perhaps you know a poem your loved one enjoyed, read them the poem, ask them to repeat lines of the poem, and it's a wonderful way to spend time. I think the arts, don't you, Marjorie, give us a space
yeah,
to be with our loved one that doesn't have the medical problems within it and where we can enjoy each other. Another way to be with a loved one is through photographs and looking at artwork again, but staying in the space that uses imagination. And it's amazing that memories come back that we don't even expect that they would, because the pressure to remember is released. And I think a lot of our activities sometimes exacerbate the frustrations because our loved one's trying so hard to remember that the frustration of not remembering causes them to withdraw or have some sort of disappointing reaction. So again, if we can stay in the moment with our loved one when we look at pictures and talk about experiences. In fact, one of the most powerful programs in the country, which you also can find free online, and it can step you through the process of working with your loved one, telling a story. It's called Time Slips, Time Slips. And it is a storytelling method. Again, it is almost free association. So anything said becomes accepted and part of the story. And it can be done with individuals. It can be done with groups, a whole family. And the results is an extremely pleasant time together, as well as a chance for each other to value each other's presence. And there's some remarkable outcomes that arise in terms of people regaining their ability to express themselves and have residual benefits. In fact, if I might share, I was in a VA setting where the facilitator was using time slips, and there was one of the patients in the unit who suffered from dementia just would laugh uncontrollably all the time, which, to be quite honest, to the caregivers, professional and family, and the other patients, was very disconcerting. The facilitator was so gracious in letting the everybody enter in, that she actually wove in the person's laughter during the story. And I noticed the laughter actually started to decrease. And the calmness came over the patient, and she started to listen to the story and actually verbalize and be part of the group. And I was sitting next to her. And after it was over, I'll never forget, it was a life-changing statement for me. She looked at me, she said, "You know, I laugh at things I cannot control." And it took my breath away. So when we give respect and honor and a sense of control, because the person with dementia's world is really so out of control from what they see around them, that the power of the arts to give mastery and communication is truly remarkable.
That is an amazing example and a wonderful confirmation for, you know, our humanity. And I loved when you also said earlier that the arts relieve the pressure of memory, of trying to remember, and they release the ability to perhaps remember lyrics of a song or lines of a poem. And for this woman, it released her and increased her control, really, for the situation. And I would guess that even her ability to verbalize it, you know, to say, "I laugh at things I can't control," maybe will help her in the future.
And it helped all of us.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we see this all the time. Music therapists know that they can actually teach people to speak after a stroke through singing. It's a different part of the brain, but it links to the functionality of the brain. We also have a wonderful dance group, Mark Morris of New York, who's noted as being of the highest professional fine arts group. But they almost stumbled upon that dance helps Parkinson's patients pattern their movement, and that Parkinson's patients actually can improve and have better control of their movements through dance. So it is so intrinsic. I can't emphasize enough what a gift the arts are to us, and we should really not be reluctant to tap them as caregivers, and certainly to bring in artists and go to arts places, because they're remarkable in terms of healing.
Yes. To your point, I saw a dancer last week in Washington say to a patient, "How the color red, what would that look like if I danced it?" And the person said, "Well, it would look like this." And she threw her arms in the air and stood up. And to your point, the whole ability to physically explain a word when you perhaps can't say it is a remarkable way to provide and help people gain control. It's just amazing. So any art form, I think we're saying, Gay, any art form is going to be very helpful to people in whatever way you want to use it with your loved ones.
Absolutely.
I want to stop our conversation for just a moment and check to see if there's anyone on the line with us who might like to ask a question. Call us at 347-857-3399. Is there anyone on the line today who has a question for Dr. Hanna? No, not yet? Okay. Well, I have another question here, and I'm sure that many of our listeners are wondering, well, how can people find arts programs in their areas? How can they get involved? I mean, what would be your suggestion with a caregiver who would ask that question?
Well, definitely we hope that they will contact our website. We'd be glad to give them actually virtual contacts such as Time Slips and the Museum of Modern Art's program Meet Me, as well as Gary's great program, and others that if they can't be there in person, they could learn about and use. But libraries are an excellent source in terms of finding spaces and programs to be involved in the arts. Senior centers, most senior centers have support groups for caregivers, and they are more and more becoming centers for the arts as well. In fact, I believe, Marjorie, you visited Iona Senior Services, where we are located, and the arts are a big part of the life of this center, and they could certainly put you in touch with other groups, but often host arts activities right here. The newspaper, of course, your faith-based communities, there's so much happening, and has happened for really hundreds and thousands of years. There have been things connected, the arts and healing. So it's probably more accessible than you might think right offhand.
Yes. Well, what if there a listener has a loved one or a friend that is in a daycare center, a facility, and there isn't really an arts program at that facility? What can caregivers do to get people started using the arts for their loved ones?
Well, definitely, I would talk to the caregiver directory directly. And see, you know, to start with the Time Slips program would be an easy, free program that anyone can access. And start with using story. That's probably the easiest fun way to get the activities flowing. And from stories, again, comes art making. And certainly in everybody's location, you can find an art center or a museum. In fact, I was just reading that over 40% of museums now have programs for people with dementia and their caregivers. So certainly it's often the hardest thing is to start the ball rolling, but then once it's going, I would just recommend and caution on one point, though, Marjorie, that be sure that all the activities are age appropriate, because I have visited day centers that, again, think, well, you know, a person is not cognitively what they used to be. So perhaps we should revert back to what young children do in a day setting. And that is devastating. So please keep things age appropriate.
Yes.
And look for help within the arts community of your town. And don't hesitate to call our offices anytime.
Okay, great. Do you have a number that you could provide our listeners about that, Gay?
Yes, 202-895-9456.
Okay, and we'll have Gay repeat that and their website as we close our conversation in a few minutes. But that is an important caution that Dr. Hanna has just mentioned about making activities age-appropriate. I have witnessed such a unage-appropriate situation in a daycare center, and it makes people feel less in control, less empowered, and it can be more devastating than helpful. So thank you for that caution. Well, now I'm going to ask you, Dr. Hannah, to look in your crystal ball for a moment and say, you know, as we look to the future, what would you see happening that will really change the nature of how medicine and the arts can come together? You know, what do you like to have happening in the future of all of this?
Well, I'm very pleased to see more and more work going on in the healthcare industry based around what they're calling person-centered care. And if we can keep care of our loved ones and ourselves person-centered, where we're not looking just at the disease itself, but we're looking for strengths and we're looking for satisfactions. And one of the greatest satisfactions is to be creative. And that's when all of us as human beings feel like we really have potential. And the arts offer that potential. So in the future, I see certainly a broader role for us to be involved in humanities and the arts as we, in fact, do elevate the quality of care both in the medical setting and at home. And I will mention that we are doing special projects within the VA medical system and within geriatric education, because a lot of times why healthcare seems so distant and over medicalized, as they say currently, is because the practitioners have never had a chance to learn about them, to learn how to use the humanities and arts in the care of their patient, so that they will know the patient more as a person than just in terms of their symptoms. So, yeah. Again, my crystal ball sees, you know, a great future and certainly relief to the caregiver, because we are so concerned that the caregiver takes care of themselves. And we certainly want to do our best to provide you with that support.
Yes. Yes, the arts can help the caregiver right along with the patient, and that's something that I'm glad you mentioned today, Gay. Well, I like your crystal ball. I like what you're looking for. I think it's a great future. And would you, if you believe it, our 30 minutes are almost up. I want to thank you again, Gay, so much for coming on our program.
Oh, thank you.
Your expertise has just been terrific, and I hope we've gotten people interested in going online and checking out some of these resources that you've mentioned. On our next Caregiver Speak show, which is Tuesday, October 9, I want to mention this. At 2 p.m., I'm going to be interviewing a panel of family caregivers on the topic of storytelling and family wellness. So we're going to hear from a group of caregivers who have actually utilized storytelling with their loved ones and friends. And it will build on what Gay has been encouraging us to do today. So, Gay, would you again mention the website and the phone number for our listeners before we close?
I certainly will, and I certainly hope I can hear that show. It sounds wonderful. It's www.creativeaging.org, and our number is 202-895-9456, and please come to see us when you're in town at Iona Senior Services. We're in Friendship Heights, right at the edge of Washington and Maryland. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Gay. And this is Marjorie Papps thanking all of you for listening. You can access my information at www.pivotalcrossings.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a terrific day, a terrific artful day. Goodbye.